Welcome back to Entertainment Talk. Today I'm here to do another TV season review. This is going to be for Daredevil Born Again Season 1 on Disney Plus. I'm your host Matthew, and it's just funny to say that, isn't it? I'm your host Matthew, and today here to do spoiler-free start review season 1 review for Daredevil Born Again. We're going to start off spoiler-free, jump into our rating system and jump into spoilers later. I'm going to give this a strong must-see and a 10 out of 10. That's what feels right for this. Now, we started with the two episodes. Obviously, we finished with nine. And, the conversation even from week one came up of, is it better? Is it worse than before? Is it Disneyfied, as they call it? Does it hold up? Was it worth bringing back? All of these sort of, how can you describe them? Panicked internet questions of like, oh no, what if it's not as good as it was before and it loses its spark and all this sort of thing. I don't think this is a question of is it better or worse, because I think it's pretty much equal to what it used to be. I will say or will agree now, this is made by different people. Obviously, Netflix has no involvement here. It does feel different and noticeable, but I don't think that's in a good or in a bad way. I just think it's sort of, and maybe it's one of them kind of psychological things where you're watching it and you can tell it's a really, really great show and the things it's doing are really working very well. But something just feels not off, but something feels different. But that's probably because it is a different show. I also think as well, in case you watched or rewatched the old series, in like the 5 or 6 year gap, however long it was, and if you didn't do that, it is also a case that, because I talked about this on our Last of Us review this week for season 2, episode 1, we have a thing in this day and age with streaming when it's like, you really love a show and you're really excited for it to come back, but because you then do wait 2 years for something to come back, in this case, like 5 or 6 or however many it was, when it's a case of like, you settle into the first 5, 10 minutes of a show when it comes back. And you know that you really like what's on screen, but something feels off. And even with something as wild as, let's say, Yellowjackets or Last of Us or, Daredevil can be a bit wild as well. And I just mean like dramatic, basically. And you can sort of, because this is how I kind of felt after the, not the first two episodes, but kind of the, once things settled in a little bit more. Because this does it the opposite way, where it's sort of, it's not really spending its opening episode settling in. It does its kind of, it does a big dramatic thing and then sort of settles in after that. And I think sometimes if you sort of try and push past the settling in, which every show does need to do, kind of, okay, it's been 2 years or however long it's been, what is everybody up to? Unless there's like a big cliffhanger to resolve or something. So I think that was probably part of it, because I'm starting to notice that that's, even with Last of Us, something that I really love, when it came back recently, it was like, okay, we're settling back in. Who's doing what? What's going on? Same thing for Yellowjackets, and I felt the same thing here. So I think that's something that's, I don't know, something to kind of consider, because when this show did do its big dramatic Daredevil thing, when Daredevil was doing its thing here, it is pretty much as good as it was before and is excellent and is fantastic. We also do need to consider as well that obviously when the three seasons came out, there was no like the pacing was totally different, because you could watch the whole season whenever you wanted, whereas this it's like wait week to week and you have to write that differently and all that sort of thing. So just to kind of, up front say like, okay, what did I think of sort of this compared to the old thing or whatever? But I thought this was excellent. I do think this is a sort of, I think it's also a settling in season as well, because you're bringing back other characters as well and sort of seeing what they're up to, and that gets spread throughout the season. But I still thought it was excellent. I still thought it was a good. It's a good stepping stone to get back into this part of the MCU. Because even with the Defenders, if we go back there, we just haven't seen those characters for so long. And I know that we've seen Charlie Cox's Matt slash Daredevil in other things, but this is like fully bringing him back. I thought it was great as well that like even in let's say the trailers for this season. That the sort of panicked, you know, will it be Disneyfied? Will it be PG? Because there still seems to be this weird commentary, and I don't really get it anymore. Of like, let's say when Disney bought Fox, and it's like, oh, they're going to make PG-13 alien films, and it's going to take away all the gore and all this sort of thing. Disney isn't the same thing that it used to be. Although they still make family-friendly content, they just put out, you know. Things like Moana 2 and Pixar still doing its thing and whatever. But yeah, so it's a fascinating time to be witnessing what Disney is kind of doing because you've got this stuff over here with Daredevil, which is the same as the Netflix show in terms of the violence and sort of being the dramatic show it needs to be. But then you can still put out the family-friendly stuff. So yeah, I thought it was excellent on that front and. Don't get me wrong, it's got its breathing moments and it's got its sort of, you know, the quieter character moments. But when things kick off in this show, they really, really do kick off. And I thought it was excellent at doing that as well. What else do I want to talk about here? I've only just kind of started. Guess let's talk about acting as well. We've got a lot of talented actors in this show. Of course, you've got Charlie Cox coming back. You've got Deborah Ann Wolfe. You've got, of course, Vincent D'Onofrio. Yeah, you've got Vincent D'Onofrio as Kingpin, and a whole bunch of other really talented people as well. I would say that as much as I really did enjoy, like, let's say Jon Bernthal's Punisher, who was really excellent, Charlie Cox as Matt Murdock, who is arguably one of the quieter characters in the show, I just like, man. Every time Vincent D'Onofrio is on screen as Kingpin or, you know, Wilson Fisk, whatever, he just grabs the scene and steals it. And, like, I was speaking about it this week on Geek Town with Daredevil, as was before the finale came out. There's something I really love about a villain. Now, don't get me wrong with, you know, Kingpin, Wilson Fisk, whatever. When he wants to get his hands dirty. And he wants to fight the person that is, say, causing him issues. He will do it, and he will be incredibly deadly. But like, I just found it really fascinating. Oh, I found it really fascinating to watch this guy, especially around his staff. And there's a particular guy called I got his name here, Daniel. And when Daniel first kind of gets into the role in the series. And you can tell he's like a bit nervous. You've got the big intimidating guy, Wilson Fisk, because you know you enter a room with him in it, or he enters a room where you're in. There's probably some intimidation there, and like there'll be points where Wilson would put his like hand on Daniel's shoulder and be like, "Look, we got to do this. We got to do that." And look, as corrupt as Wilson Fisk is. It was interesting to watch him, and obviously he's a fictional character. It was interesting to watch him be so determined to get things done. And, you know, in this day and age, when you do listen to an MP or a Prime Minister or whatever, and you've got to try and work out if they're lying to you or something, and with a lot of MPs being like, oh yeah, we'll get this done, we'll get that done. But it was interesting to kind of, especially in the, let's say, political climate we're in now, with so many corrupt people being in charge of different things, whatever. It was very interesting to see, like, there's a scene with a pothole that I found very, very interesting, especially as somebody who rides a scooter and potholes are very bothersome. I mean, this wasn't a pothole in the show, it was like a massive hole. And there was like a bit of traffic that was held up, and, obviously the car gets stopped. It's like, hey, we sorry, Mr. Mayor, we can't get past it. And he's like, why can't we get past it? And he gets out of his car and he's all very, very determined to he's like, no, I don't want to fix this later. I want to fix this now. I want to get it done now. And I just really enjoyed that aspect of him and his, like, if he is determined to do something, he will get it done. And I know he says it's like, okay, because he loves New York and all this sort of thing. Obviously, we know there's a mask there because there's the corruption. But I don't remember how much, and of course, in the previous seasons, he wasn't the mayor, was he? Or I don't think he was anyway. But watching him like rise to power, even though you know this is a guy who shouldn't be risen to power because he's corrupt, watching this guy be so determined and the sort of toughness there, and like if Daniel would, let's say, if he said to him like, "Hey, I'm trying to do this, trying to do that," and like there's like the physical, like the friendly physical intimidation there with Wilson, of like, listen, Daniel, and all this kind of stuff. I just really, really like that. That was actually one of my favorite things of the season, as well as other things I'll get to in a minute. But I just thought that was great, and I really enjoyed with Daniel's character as well. Like, he was somebody on screen I thought like, okay, you're probably gonna die in like the second episode. You'll probably do something to piss Wilson Fisk off, and he'll probably just like, cave your head in or something. So it was cool to see his kind of rise as well, and his confidence rise I thought was interesting, like alongside Wilson Fisk. So I quite enjoyed that dynamic, and I didn't sort of expect to, but I thought that was really good. But yeah, when you're trying to be a dialogue heavy, intimidating villain, you've got to be good at delivering your lines, but you've also got to be, you do have to have some physical intimidation there, even though what you're doing is dialogue heavy. But I thought that was so well done by Vincent, and of course it's not possible without really, really good writing. So yeah, easily one of my favorite aspects of the season. And then you kind of have, because you've got Vanessa as there as well, and they're sort of bouncing back and forth off each other, and kind of they're challenging each other. That was like a different challenge to him and Daniel, and I enjoyed the like sort of two different dynamics there. Because she kind of knows even more, let's say, than what Daniel does, because she's closer to the situation than that. Obviously, she's the his wife and everything. But like when she tries to sort of smartly challenge him on like an intellectual level, and you can see this sort of there's like a this little clash there with her and Wilson. I thought that was really, really excellent as well. So, yeah, again, Charlie Cox, I'll talk about him and Daredevil in a second, but I was just so impressed with Wilson Fisk in this show. So really, really good. Just to actually speak about our main guy here, Daredevil, Matt Murdock, played by Charlie Cox. Something I really enjoyed this season, and I enjoyed reading the conversations about this online, which you don't always enjoy reading conversations about things online, is like, and I don't remember this getting discussed or explored in the same way in the old show. Again, it's been over 5 years. I can't remember everything from those shows. Plus, I didn't go back and rewatch them. I've only watched them once, so they're not as fresh in my mind as they were for some other people. I know other people were sort of like rewatching the old seasons just before this came back. I just, as much as I really, really love this show, because by the way, I think this is the best comic book show that we've got. Whether it's the old three seasons or this, I just didn't feel the need to do that for whatever reason. The kind of actual exploration of, okay, it's not just the case that, oh, he can hear really well and therefore he can fight and that's how he does it because he's blind. This conversation that opened up about, like, we'll get into spoilers later on this, obviously, when he's fighting certain villains. People talking about like, oh, when this bit happened or when this bit happened, how did he do this little bit and that little bit? And people started talking about like how he can feel different vibrations and like all these different things. Because we've got to fundamentally remember, as much as he's blind and he can't see, that raises all of his other senses. Like he can smell people from really far away. He can hear from really, really far away. I think in this show, there were certain bits when they did like the focused audio bit, which, by the way, as somebody who's a big appreciates audio a lot, they did a really, really good job with that. I really just do think, particularly for films and TV, there needs to be a lot more experimental stuff with audio done out there, because every now and then when I come across a film or a show, that does something really good with audio, it just really stands out. Maybe that's just me appreciating it. I know people kind of look at, visuals and pretty things as being interesting, but you can do so many cool different things with audio, and using his hearing, especially like the sort of sharp hearing in a certain way. There was one point where like he walked out of a building, walked like halfway down the street, and he heard like, I think it was the clicking of guns or something all the way down the other end of the street. I know they can't portray like his smell ability as much on screen. It's a bit more difficult to do than audio, but yeah, I thought they did a really, really good job of that, and I thought it actually did a good job of kind of exploring more of what Daredevil's capable of. Again, not just, oh, he can hear really well, therefore, because it's almost used in the same way that Spider-Man's spider senses work. Because at least from what I can remember with most Spider-Man versions, he puts on that mask and he can't see, not because he's blind, but because of other things. I know there's like other different versions with nanotechnology and all that sort of stuff, but then he can use like his spider sense and kind of, seek things out and whatever. Whereas this is much more of a physical thing. Yeah, I just thought they did a really, really excellent job with that. See, the only thing is between, like, okay, when Matt's delivering dialogue, or Charlie's delivering dialogue as Matt, he's really excellent at it still. But he doesn't get, I suppose it's because Matt and Kingpin, or Fisk, whatever, the way they operate as characters is so different, because often it will be times where Matt's just in a crowd or in a corner and he's just listening out for stuff. He's not the one doing all the big dialogue speeches, whereas Wilson Fisk is. So I guess, Charlie and Vincent had very kind of different jobs this season, but then Daredevil and Wilson Fisk operate completely differently. So there we go. It's also the fact of, like, even when they're fighting as well, Daredevil's much more sort of agile and spins around and does more kicks and things like that, whereas Wilson Fisk is more just, I'm gonna pick you up and just break you in half kind of thing. I thought he did that really well as well. Deborah Ann Wolfe, was really good to see her back this season, as well as Karen Page. Same thing with Eldon Henson as Foggy. Good to have the three of them back together. So that was great. Loved seeing John Bernthal back as well. Speaking on Geek Town this week about, I kind of forgot how good he was in that role again, because I haven't seen him in it for so long. So yeah, his just kind of, I don't know, there is some similarities between his acting, John's acting with Shane in Walking Dead, which I haven't seen for a very, very long time, and then Frank Castle, Cut Castle. But there are some similarities in sort of like the things he does with his head and all that kind of stuff, like the head bobbing and all that sort of thing. And like the serious sort of like, are you kidding me kind of thing. I really, really like the way that John does that as well. He was also in, I think, called We Own This City on HBO. Very, very, very good show. For those of you that like The Wire, it's quite similar to that. So really, really good show. It's a limited series. He does sort of the same thing there as well. The sort of head bob, are you kidding me sort of thing. I really like the way that John does it. I think it's really excellent. The villains, I don't want to spoil any of them in case some of you don't know who is in the show. I thought they did a good job with all of them, basically. Yeah, but we can talk about that more in the spoiler section, I suppose. What else we've got to talk about? Pacing, structure, the flow, all that sort of stuff. They did a great job from that, from what I remember. There wasn't anything that stood out of like really deliberately excellent pacing or structure, and there wasn't anything that stood out to me as like really sort of jarring or bad. The only thing I would really comment on that was sort of, I wasn't sure to make of, and I also noticed this in Captain America as well, obviously, too. Disney made MCU projects, because there was the same comments made about both things with Captain America, Brave New World, and Daredevil, is like the pacing of the fighting. Now, when I watched Captain America, which obviously came out before this, I remember saying like some of it does look slower, but I couldn't tell if A, that was deliberate, or B, because Sam Wilson and a few other characters had a lot of gear on, if that was making them slower. I think it's maybe a mixture of both. I feel like the same thing happened here. I mean, look, when like Daredevil really needs to move out the way or like flip around and stuff, that doesn't look slow, but it looked a bit like there was, I don't know if it's a case of like, oh, the combat was slower, therefore it was worse, or there was more sort of weight to it. I couldn't really sort of tell, but I felt the same way about both entries. Maybe Marvel's like trying something. I know some people were really put off of it, and they were like, oh, Daredevil's back and the combat's really slow. I don't know if it was that it was slow or kind of just heavier. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not saying I necessarily agree or disagree with that opinion, really, because it kind of looked a bit like both at times. So yeah, I mean, was it that much faster in the original show? I mean, what's something I can think of that has like melee combat that's really quick? Apart from like, Kung Fu films and things like that, where people are proper ducking and weaving and doing all kinds of stuff. But I don't know. I did think at some point, it is the one thing I will say about the combat, and I'm not sure how or why this happened. There was a few times, I think it was in the premiere and the finale, and in a few other episodes, when it wasn't a problem with the lighting in the scene, but there's times when like characters are throwing things across the rooms, like knives, guns, or anything really, and they kept knocking lights out, and things kept like hitting the wall in a way where like you would see sparks and things like that. I know it kind of sounds a bit weird. And like lights would get broken and things like that. And there would be lights sort of coming in or out of the room based on what was going on outside as well. So it was this weird lighting mixture I noticed sometimes. And when you've got Daredevil, even though he has a red suit on at one point, which it's like a lighter sort of red, and you got Punisher wearing all black, it was a little bit difficult to see them sometimes. I felt anyway. And even when Wilson Fisk is fighting at some points and he's wearing a bright white great big massive blazer, this still didn't, I don't know if they were trying to do something. It didn't feel like bad lighting production. It felt like there was a stylistic choice or something that I'm less sure on, sort of what they were trying to do, as opposed to the like slow-paced combat and things like that. So anyway, yeah. And again, I wouldn't say it was like a problem or something that put me off. It was just something I noticed, which I wasn't sure what I was supposed to get from that, and I wasn't sure what the sort of aim there was really with that as well. I don't know, but anyway, that's something I noticed. I think that's pretty much, there's a lot of spoilery stuff to talk about, I suppose. There's not really a lot else I can talk about spoiler free, but yeah, I really really enjoyed it. I thought it was excellent. Season did go pretty quickly. I mean, I think we did have two weeks of double episodes, didn't we? We had one and two, and then when five and six came around, we had those, I think, and then there was just a few episodes left. But yeah, it was a settling in phase as well. I think that kind of spreads across this season a bit, and I thought that was fine to do. It was sort of Disney getting its feet on the under the table with this new version of Daredevil without Netflix, trying to sort of bring it back and sort of do it properly. And this feels like a new settling in version for this type. So when we get to season two, I think things will spring on from there, if that makes sense. So yeah, but yeah, all of the, I mean, I never really had any sort of worries per se, Because even before they did the Echo show and they were like, hey, yeah, we can do TV MA stuff for Disney, I never once thought, like, oh, it's going to be PG-13 family friendly and you won't see any, blood or, things like that. I never really thought that was going to be an issue from the start. In fact, even when they started talking about bringing Daredevil back, that never meant that it was like, oh, it's got to be a Disney Plus show, therefore you take all the sort of adult violence and swearing away. Like this isn't AMC. It's Disney. So, but and I'm surprised this has taken so long, but I think people need to wrap their mind a little bit more about like what Disney actually is today, because it's not the same thing it was, 10, 15 years ago before they got into all this like Fox TV and like the Marvel stuff and all that. But anyway, now that they got their feet under the table for what this new kind of version is, they can kick on with season two and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I didn't really have many worries going into the season, and none of those worries, which didn't exist anyway, came to the forefront. So again, just a few little odd bits with like some of the things going on with combat, but we'll see what they come back with season two for that. So anyway, that's it for the spoiler-free section. If you've not seen Daredevil: Born Again season one, don't join me on the other side. But in the meantime, if you've got any thoughts, feelings, questions, comments on Daredevil: Born Again season one, did you enjoy it more than me, less than me, about the same amount, and give your reasons as to why, and what did you think of the lighting bits and pieces and some of the combat and all the other things I mentioned. Matthew at entertainmenttalk.org, social media eTalkUK or Entertainment Talk, and there's information in your show notes. In the meantime, you can find everything else that we do on entertainmenttalk.org. TV, games, films, Monday Night Podcast, look out for all of those. I got a bunch of stuff this week. This has been one of the busiest weeks we've had in a while. Lots of Last of Us podcasts, got gaming talk. I got this podcast, obviously. Got possible film reviews I'm doing soon, as well as a good few films out that I want to see. There's also Yellow Jackets we wrapped up recently. What's it called? United Cast, obviously, big dramatic game yesterday. There's a new political talk talking about all the stuff from the Supreme Court and all that nonsense. So talked about all of that. And then yeah, back next week with more Last of Us stuff. More gaming talks, probably, or at least one, not more than one. Gaming talks, things like that. And we'll see what goes on from there. But if you want to support the podcast that we do, you can go to either entertainmenttalk.org or podcast platforms for TV, games, films, Monday Night Podcasts. Listen to more stuff, word of mouth, social media. If someone mentions something we podcasted on, please tell them about said podcast. Patreon, $5, $10 level tiers, ad-free podcast review options. Look for that as well if you'd like to. TV and film news, Geek Town Radio Tuesdays, and geektown.co.uk. It's not too late this week to listen to Geek Town Radio, so you can go from here to there if you'd like your latest TV and film news. So check out all of that. Patreon, $5, $10 level tiers, ad-free podcast review options. Look for that as well if you'd like to. I think I already said that actually. And yes, lastly, YouTube is Entertainment Talk Plays. You can check out all the fun bits and pieces over there. All right, we're going to take a break, come back, and we're going to talk spoilers for Daredevil: Born Again season one. See you in a minute. Hi there, if you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system which is usually in the bottom right hand corner to send messages back and forth to Kualu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Kualu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Kualu for this affiliate link. Hi there, if you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talk's podcasts and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and
the future ad-free podcast that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for 2 episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch 2 episodes of that TV show or film review. So it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show.
All right, it's time for spoilers. If you've not seen Daredevil Born Again Season 1, you can go to our other podcast, listen to one of those, catch up with Geek Town Radio, or do whatever else that you want. Because I'm going to jump into spoilers. I already did give you a warning, and we need to kick off with a big one. And one where I have possibly a controversial take. And this isn't something I thought I was going to feel when I watched this happen. So, kick off in the first, 5 minutes? It was pretty much the cold open. Foggy gets killed by Daredevil. That would have been a twist, wouldn't it? By Bullseye, because he's very, 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 very accurate. And we have the band back together for a bit, but then gets broken up. The classic, Murdoch, Nelson and Page, I think it was called, the law firm. So what did I think of that, I guess? I was kind of thinking at the start, like, oh, that might be a mistake. Now, as much as I missed the character in the show after that, because of course he wasn't around, and Karen went off screen for a number of episodes. Now, in the original version of the show we were going to get, the two of them weren't in this. They hadn't, I don't think they'd even been cast for the series. Now, there's 2 theories about that, which is either you did that because you picked up after Foggy had died and it just gets mentioned as something that happened off screen, and Karen's also not there because the band, you know, got split up and whatnot. I think that's more likely. I think option B was just, oh, they just didn't bring them back at all, and it was just, they just moved on for some odd reason. I think it's more option A, that they were going to, for some reason, do it in a way where you pick up the show after the band had been broken up. Now, something I found, I don't know if this is why I ended up thinking this, but, like, as we were going through the season, and it was, okay, Kingpin's doing his thing, Bullseye's doing his thing, Matt's doing a lot of lawyering in the show, which he is a lawyer as well. And I kind of realised, and I don't know if the two of them, so Karen and Foggy being off screen, was the reason that I picked up more on this. But because I felt like we had more of a focus on Matt's lawyering, I don't know if I'm saying that word right, and I noticed more of his sort of Daredevil abilities coming to the forefront, it was either I felt like I noticed that because there was 2 characters to pay less attention to because they weren't on screen, or that was there the whole time, and not that Karen and Foggy were like stealing the attention from that, but because for many episodes in this show, Matt is kind of the main character on his own for a large part. I know that Heather was there as well and he had a nice relationship with her, but she wasn't on screen like loads of times. And there's many times when she's not there and it's just Matt and like a client or something. And I started getting more into the actual lawyer stuff when we started kicking onto it more. And I wasn't sort of sitting there, you know, tapping my feet or whatever, going, okay, where's Daredevil? I know on a Geek Town episode I did talk about, like, Matt's not been in the suit for a long time. That was just because I noticed it and I talked about it. It wasn't sort of like, oh, I'm bored of Matt as a character and I need my, you know, Daredevil action fix. That wasn't the way I looked at it at all. But with the slight change in focus there, and obviously the reason he's not in his Daredevil suit and doing his thing as much is because he feels like he should put it away after Foggy died, which is a very reasonable explanation. But I actually think it worked, and where my more controversial take is going to come in. Now, if you had, let's say, Karen and Foggy more full-time in the show and Foggy hadn't died, that is, because I was kind of watching and I was like, am I feeling that Karen and Foggy not being in the show is making it better because Matt's getting more focus? Or, because the fear was when they first did this was, oh God, Karen and Foggy aren't there, it's going to be worse, Disney's ruining it, blah, blah, blah. I don't think the show was better or worse without the two of them. But yeah, I'm wondering if the focus, if it's the focus thing, or I don't know. Maybe you still could have done the same Daredevil stuff that you did, and the same Matt being a lawyer thing as you did. But I also kind of thought, like, because you didn't have the three of them doing the lawyering and then bouncing ideas off each other, and Matt had to come up with more stuff. I know we had Heather and who was the other person as well? I don't think I could find it. Is it Sheila? I think it was Sheila. No, it wasn't Sheila. There was another woman that was doing lawyering with him, and there was also, doesn't say his name here, Clark Johnson's character, who was in sort of law firm with him as well. I don't know. I don't know what I'm sort of trying to say about, like, okay, could you have still done the same effective thing you did with Matt and the focus shift I'm talking about with Karen and Foggy still there? I think you could have. It would have taken, it would have needed even better writing than what you had, maybe before. I don't know. It was just interesting seeing Matt take lawyering cases on his own. And don't get me wrong, when Karen and Foggy weren't there, I did miss them, and it did feel like a bit of a big missing hole in the show. Maybe it was just that I started to get used to it or something. I can't quite put my finger on, yeah, what I sort of feel with that, but it would be a better show if they were both more regularly in it and we did miss Karen and Foggy, but it doesn't make the show worse without them. And for Daredevil as a show, if they keep it, you know, Born Again season 2, 3, 4, whatever they're going to do, you maybe don't need, maybe it's the case of you didn't actually need the three of them. Yeah, it's better with the three of them there, but you don't sort of have a big fall from grace if the other two aren't there, because Matt still holds up really well on his own as a character. I think that's what I'm trying to say. I don't know. Anyway, that's so I guess the controversial part of that opinion is, like, the show will be fine. I mean, they both have been cast for season two, by the way. Both of them, whether that's flashbacks or whatnot. Obviously, we did see Karen come back in at the end, and see, she's going to be seemingly more involved, which is good. But the show is better with them, but it's also perfectly fine without them. I think that's what I'm trying to say, maybe. So, yeah. All right, there's that bit. What else do I want to talk about? I don't know how much I want to delve into the whole political stuff with Kingpin and all the specifics there, because I could be here all day talking about that, because there was so much stuff. But yeah, I enjoyed his back and forth with Daniel and all that kind of thing. I did enjoy the relationship between Heather and Matt. I thought that was a good way to balance him. Of course, you had Heather dealing with Muse and dealing with Wilson and Vanessa in the whole therapy thing. I thought Muse was quite a cool character as well. I do think it was, he had a satisfying arc, I think, as well. I wasn't sort of like, he was a character I was curious about and kind of enjoying, But when he did get killed, I was like, okay, that's the, you know, decent way to sort of end his arc. Because I was kind of curious as to when Bullseye was going to come back in, because I thought surely he is going to. And then he made a really, really glorious return as well. Man, the mechanics of, like, breaking your own tooth off, spitting it at someone so hard that it kills them. Not only penetrates their skin, but kills them. And then I like the off-screen deaths, actually, of those two people in the room. Like, when he breaks his, he gets out of his cuffs or whatever it is. And has the two scissors and just chucks them at the people. I thought that was very, very good. So that was good as well. Yeah, found Muse to be as creepy as he was supposed to come across. The whole, like, blood-sucking, blood-pumping idea I thought was really, really uncomfortable. But obviously it was supposed to be. That was probably one of my actual favourite Daredevil fight bits, where he's like, he's proper suited up, he knows he needs to do what he's got to do, and like, even from when he's running down the subway tunnel, whatever it was, and Muse like, sort of notices him all of a sudden, and I think he like, swings towards him, I thought it was really, really cool. But yeah, Muse could like hold his own slightly. I know he technically lost that fight, but he sort of was able to hold his own against Matt, and you had this two-way combination thing of him needing to hold off Muse, make sure him and the other young girl, I think I've got her name here, BB, is that her name? I don't know what Google's doing with his cast names. Yeah, you had her and everything, and like, this idea of like, Matt, you've got to hurry up because the blood is getting pumped out of this girl. Even though you've caught Muse and you've got him, it's being pumped out of her and you need to do something sooner rather than later about that. But then Muse kept getting back up and getting back at him. And I thought that was really, really well done. So that was really good. Yeah, of course you had Adam back as well, who had, what was he, had a relationship with Vanessa. And obviously Wilson wasn't happy about that. I'm surprised he died. I wasn't sure what I was supposed to get from that as a viewer, but I thought that was well done. I really loved, he's like, I'm going to give you this, because Adam's very weak, right? He's like, I'm going to give you this axe and you try and kill me. And he just disarms him almost straight away. And oh my God, when he lifts Adam up and like pushes him right into the ceiling, it almost did look like he had superpowers or something at one point, but wow, that is not a guy that you want to mess with. So I thought that was really, really well done. That was really cool. So that was good as well. I thought Buck was kind of interesting. Yeah, White Tiger Reyes, I think is Hector. His name was. I thought that was just a bit of a bummer. But it's supposed to be. You spend the whole episode, the court thing, getting him, you know, getting him out of all that. And then there can be something really frustrating and annoying, but in a good way, about the way someone gets shot. And just like, he's free, he's coming back, White Tiger's back. And then this guy just catches him out and just one in the head. There's nothing you can do once that's done. Yeah, it's frustrating, but in a really good way. So that was good. What else did we have? Yeah, Bullseye coming back, I thought was great as well. There's nothing to really talk about with Foggy, but it was good to see him back. Like seeing Tony Dalton, of course he's in, I think Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul, but he was a Jack, the swordsman. Thought that was cool to see him back. Oh yes, of course, one of the best episodes of the season. Technically a bottle episode, if you want to call it that. I think it was episode 4 or something. The bank episode, where that gets taken over. And Yusuf, of course, Kamala's, not Kamala, I can't remember her actual person name, but Miss Marvel, yeah, when her dad is there and there's the little toy thing for her. That was one of my favourite episodes. He was such a really, really great character in the Miss Marvel series and in the bits where he was in the Marvels as well. But an interesting, like, because as dramatic as Miss Marvel was and the Marvels was, like, this is much more dramatic and more kind of an adult tonal space for him to be in as a character. But I thought he did really, really great in the episode. And I love the little bit where he's like, hey, I've got this little thing with my daughter. He's like, oh, you can't see it, can you? And Matt's like, no, I can't see it. Well, that was good. And there was a dinner invite there, wasn't there? So that could be a really great sort of cold open or post credit scene or something. Hopefully that happens at some point. So that was really, really great. The episode itself was really good as well. The whole way that Matt took down the bank robbers and stuff, I thought that was really, really good. So yeah, that's most of the things I wanted to talk about. Man, the best death of the season, the Commissioner. So I guess, you know, number one thing you got to do, even if you are trying to go against the mayor, be aware that you might get recorded at some point. Just have that in mind. And you just wondered, like, because, okay, he gets into the car, it gets all locked, and he sort of realizes, the Commissioner realizes, okay, there's something wrong straight away. I didn't know if it was going to be like the driver turns around, shoots him, Wilson's in the car, he's going to like put his hands around him from the back seat or something and just like crush him or break his neck or something like that. Then you get the classic sort of mafia-esque scene of like all of the what do you call them, the sheets, the like the big plastic sheets, obviously very good to get rid of bodies. Not that that's something I've experienced with, but as an obvious thing. Yeah, you see all the plastic sheets and all that, and you're thinking like, okay, is it going to be a bullet to the head? Then you roll up his body in that and something, you know, something of the sort. And then he starts like hitting him a bit, and I was like, okay, he's doing something different here. And then he just like, is it like he crushed his head and then like pulled off his jaw? I'm not sure how much of that the Commissioner would have felt until he actually died, but like, yeah. I mean, it was pretty awesome. It was really, really good. But it was interesting that even this task force, which I liked the idea of, by the way, I thought that was very good. Even some of them are like, oh my god, it's like, I mean, there was two purposes to that, right? You get rid of the rat. And you also show an example to the others of, like, if any of you are actually thinking about going against me, something like this is going to happen, so get on my side, I suppose. Because, you know, obviously he's got a very big venture planned. So he had that happening. And then, of course, the last two bits of the season. Daredevil saying he needs to form some sort of an army. I don't know if that means the Defenders, or there was a few people there at the end of the season, so we'll see how that goes. And then Anthony, as was his name, I think, Punisher starts talking to this guy. I love, like, John's kind of polite to rage range. I thought that that's just, like, really interesting. And there's always, I do actually like that in Kingpin's assembly of people, he's got someone who's a bit more nervous, like a Daniel, who builds up, and then he's got someone more sort of nervous and more gullible and vulnerable, like this Anthony person, and they're not all just completely, you know, big bad hard asses. I quite liked that there was a few people there who were sort of not as good or not as comfortable or a bit more sort of vulnerable or a bit more gullible. But as soon as he puts his hand through those bars, he's like, hey man, I really like you, really appreciate you're actually talking to me and all this. You knew as soon as he shook that hand that, like, okay, that's how he's getting out. So you trusted Punisher too much. Look, you can get on Punisher's good side. It's not like he's just gonna kill everybody, because he hasn't killed Daredevil yet, hasn't killed Wilson Fisk. But yeah, so that was interesting that we got a little post-credit scene. Wondered if we were going to get one. So very, very good. And he looks like he is on his way out of that cell. Because he broke his arm and that, didn't he? And he sort of pulled him in. He was probably just taking the keys off him. I don't imagine he's going to kill Anthony. It would be a little bit sad if he did, because he put that bit of trust in him. But yeah, so anyway, that's it for Daredevil Born Again Season 1. Very, very much enjoyed the season. A few little questions and quibbles and bits and pieces here and there, but they got their feet under the ground, they have a foundation set up, and we'll see if any of the others come back. There's a lot of murmurings about Jessica Jones. There's a few murmurings about Finn, what's his name, he was talking about, Iron Fist. Of course, you've got you've already got Punisher back, so you could bring that series back. Luke Cage, I don't know what that actor is doing at the moment. Because there was four of them, right? So we got Daredevil back. Punisher was never actually one of the defenders, was he? You got, yeah, Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, Iron Fist. And obviously you got people like Elektra hanging around as well. But yeah, then you got Echo's also hanging around. Maybe you do something with her. She is Wilson Fisk's daughter, so, you know, maybe you do something there. But yeah, lots of options for future seasons. So we'll see what they come up with. Anyway, that's it from me. Thank you very much for listening. I don't think I missed anything big to talk about. If I did, just let me know. Anyway, thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time. Goodbye.